This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Hey, all you rock stars from Washington, D.C. This is the Rock on the Money podcast, episode 91. It's time to talk about your saving, investing, and protecting all those hard-earned monies. We're here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda. She's a corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent, and we're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hey, you're once again, Amanda, by the way, is a real estate mogul. She who have now what? Another rental property.
Yes, we closed on that and spent five full 15, 16 hour days working on it to get it rental ready.
Wow. So it was you, your husband, and then your father-in-law, did he ever make it over there and help and everything? And
well, he made it over there and he was good company. Yes.
Awesome. You're making me jealous. I feel like I'm not investing now.
It looks gorgeous. I mean, I would live there.
Oh, I love that. Well, I can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it. So I thought today we would go over a bunch of questions again.
Okay.
It just seems like a lot of people are really interested in investing their money. But I also see a lot of people are wanting to take shortcuts. I'm seeing that all over again. People are getting poor advice from people that, I don't know,
are broke
people. Yeah. And because they're all looking for answers or they're looking for permission. What do you call that? They're looking for someone to allow them to do something.
It's called confirmation bias. And we see that in politics. We see that with finances. We see it with everything and anything that someone has an opinion on something and just wants to find information to support the opinion they already have.
And I just saw that in our Facebook group last week and I had to jump in there and some guy was giving that permission to somebody about getting an auto loan and all. I'm like, nope. That's not how we do it. So it's like, no, we're sticking to our guns. We teach basic financial literacy, which should be in schools, by the way. That's what we do. We stick to our guns. It is what is proven. It's what works. It's not old school. It is the way to do it. So, anyway, so with that, we got six questions.
Okay.
You got a real estate one in there for you. So let's start with number one. I actually like this one because a lot of people are getting towards the end of the year. People have all that extra money, hopefully.
And they call it like a flex spending account.
Flexible, HSA is different. Yeah, this is a flexible spending account, which you have to use by the end of the year. So,
the FSA.
So here's a good LASIK question. Good time to go over this. Here's the question. Should I spend $3,000 on LASIK eye surgery, even though I'm on baby step two? I wear contacts and do not like to wear glasses because I don't want to run the risk of dropping them or breaking them since I have a very active job. Any suggestions would be appreciated.
Well, you're not dropping or breaking your contact lenses.
That's what I was confused about. I'm like, well, you have the contacts.
Yeah. I wore contacts for like 2 decades.
Wow.
It's nice. Fine. Yeah. From when I was a teenager until in my mid-30s and then before I had LASIK, which I'll say I was very happy with LASIK. I was one of the ones within the small percentage that had complications. So I had to have it done twice, 6 months apart. So that's terrible. But to get back to the question here, should you spend $3,000 on LASIK or anything before you're done paying off the rest of your debt? Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Like, I can't even believe you're asking us this question.
If you call Dave Ramsey with that question, he would repeat the baby steps. Baby step one is your initial emergency $5,000. Baby step two is paying off all consumer debt except your mortgage. And then three, moving on. And then you have the fully funded.
Just want to say, shut the front door. I mean, come on.
This is not open heart surgery. This is not getting, this is not an emergency. This is almost a luxury item.
It's absolutely a luxury item. Yeah. It's not almost. It absolutely is.
Yeah. I'm trying to be a little compassionate here, but if contacts are working, you need to do that until you do the baby steps.
Yes.
Yeah. And if you want to do the flexible spending account next year where it's tax-free money, that's how you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how I did it. I'm not saying
that's how you should do it. And you can use your flex spending to buy contact lenses, and you can buy them online or through Costco. There's plenty of ways to save money on contact lenses. So first of all, if you have $3,000 laying around, it should be going to your debt.
Yeah. Baby step two needs to be completed.
I suspect they're asking us permission to finance their LASIK eye surgery.
That's what my lead in is. They're looking for permission. And they will get it from someone. We're just telling you it's the wrong way. It's up to you.
You do you, but you're not going to make any progress on getting to financial wealth. Yeah,
that's cosmetic surgery.
Yeah, financial freedom. That's not the way you get there.
Question number two. I have $40,000 lump sum. Yeah, I'm 45 years old. What should I do with this money to save for retirement?
Where'd that lump sum come from?
I don't know. Did not include it. And I tried to email back to find, well, how did that happen? Is it going to be taxed in some way? I mean, is it like an inheritance or was it a court settlement? I don't know.
Immediately dump $6,000 into a Roth IRA.
Yep. There you go.
Yeah. If you work someplace that allows you to do a 401, let's back up a second. Yeah. I'm assuming that they have all of their debt paid off, right? And maybe that's the wrong assumption.
Yeah.
So you should start out steps 1, 2, and 3, right?
Yep. Go through the basic steps.
Yep. And you may be able to skip step 1 if you're able to do this all at once with your lump sum, but pay off all of your consumer debt, everything that you have that you owe somebody something on. You need to pay that off immediately, except your mortgage. So you know what's funny? I've been hearing a lot of people say, well, I've paid everything off. And then you dig a little deeper and like, well, yeah, I have a car payment, but that's good debt, right?
It's funny you said that. I was just going to bring it up because I see people online. They'll say, well, I paid off all my credit cards, so I'm debt free except for my car. I'm like,
people say they're debt free. And then you find out they have a car payment.
How many times have you seen that? It's all the time. No, you're not debt free.
The car payment is a debt. And if you owe grandma $500, that's a debt.
Your 401k loan is a debt.
401k loan's a debt, yes.
That is a legit baby step two debt. You cannot go forward without paying off your 401k loans.
If you pay anyone, or if you owe anyone or anything, any amount of money, $10, $100, $10,000, you need to pay that off immediately.
Yep.
Then you need your 3 to 6 months worth of expenses saved up for an emergency fund.
Yep.
If you're convinced you have both of those steps done, then dump $6,000 immediately into a Roth IRA. That's the annual limit when you're 45 years old. Once you hit 50, you get some catch up and you can do an additional $1,000. Put it all into the Roth IRA, $6,000 immediately. Make sure your 401k for the year is maxed out. What is it, $19,500 this year?
Yep.
And then after that, and only then after that, can you look at investing in just a regular brokerage account.
There you go.
At 15%. And then pay off your mortgage.
There you go. A lot of these are basically just work your way through the baby steps. And then there's little individual situations, but a lot of it really is go back through. But some of those steps are just not exciting and people don't want to do them. So number three.
Right. They think, I just won the lottery. Let me do something fun with it.
And how many times we see those? There's that TV show about lottery winners.
The lottery ruined my life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Very common. Number three, teacher with a 3 month salary emergency savings. Good job. Should I continue contributing 10% of my income to that, or can I use the 10% on something else?
Well, I think teachers are in a pretty stable job with the caveat of a lot of school districts I'm seeing are having budget cuts and still combining. But there's still always going to be a demand for substitute teaching.
Oh, yeah.
So 3 months is, again, the minimum emergency savings. I don't think there's anything wrong in this environment with contributing a little bit more to get you closer to 5 or 6 months. But if you're at that state and you feel like your job is stable, then it's time to move on to the next step.
And a lot of teachers are working at home right now teaching, which God bless the teachers, because it is not easy. Because my daughter is one of them, and they are actually working harder than if they had to commute to the school. They would rather be in the school too.
Yeah.
You know, they're actually saving more money, but they're not commuting as much. They're eating at home. If you can afford to save more, build that up. And you should have the extra money right now, because you're not buying food out. You're not going out as much after work because you're at home. So now's a good time to build that up. Totally understand. Yep.
So I would get closer to 5 or 6 months worth of savings. And then to answer your second part of your question, once you get past that, then your 10%, 10 to 15% up, you know, should be going towards retirement.
Awesome. And thank you for being a teacher. A lot of teachers have retired because they've had time and they're done. They don't want to deal with this. They've bailed. So there is a need for new teachers to come up. I don't know how they do it. I don't know how police officers are doing it nowadays. I'm glad I'm retired. That's all I'm saying. It's crazy out there. So in a lot of these jobs. Hey, Amanda, how about we take a break? And then we got three great ones coming in.
Sounds good.
And it's amazing how we keep putting the best question at the end. So I don't know why we keep doing that, but the best part of our show has been at the end. I ended up making that best of club. Anyway, let's take a quick break. We'll be back right after this. You're listening to Rock on the Money.
There, rock stars. Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Are you about to sell your home or excited to buy your first or next home? I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with you in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I'll help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. Choice Realty Connect serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're selling or looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation property, or you're a first-time home buyer, let me connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Amanda Braun is a Florida licensed real estate with a brokerage, Realty Connect. Craig, check us out on our website, rockonthemoney.com. We have all the past episodes and clips, best of clips on there, tons of tips on there. And we are getting a lot of new listeners from other things that we have going on, or I have going on. A lot of them are international, so a lot of it really doesn't pertain, but they want to hear it. So, which is great. So, it's really interesting seeing the numbers go up, but they're coming from other countries, which is really interesting.
And that's fine. I mean, the general concepts apply no matter what country or language or culture you're in.
Question number 4. We have 3 more questions we want to do. Here we go. Here's your real estate question. I'm 22 and want to get into real estate, but I don't have much capital. And multifamily homes get snatched up by the big guys. Is that really true?
I don't know that that's true.
What Grant Cardone, all these guys always promote buying multifamily homes, more keys with one roof. I think that's where he's hearing that from.
Yeah, but they're not snatching up duplexes like left and right.
Yeah, there's a couple of guys on YouTube that promote that kind of real estate investment as many keys under one roof. Anyway, I am considering buying a home and renting out the rooms for a few years before reselling. Do you have any thoughts or tips?
So it sounds like this kid is looking to buy a single family home just for himself and then just rent out the bedrooms in the home rather than
like
a duplex or a fourplex or something like that. So that's fine. I don't have any objections to that, except my one requirement, and I'm going to use that word because it's a strong word, requirement is that you need to be able to afford the full mortgage on it on your own without factoring in any money you might get for renting out those rooms. Because things happen. All it takes is one person to lose a job and suddenly you're out that income that you're expecting. So you need to only buy something that you personally can afford. And then renting out these rooms is just icing on the cake.
There you go.
Yeah. The other thing I would consider, though, is you can still look into duplexes. That's one of those things where they allow you to get a personal home loan still, rather up to fourplexes. As long as you're living in one of the units, you can get a personal loan on it, usually in most places. And then rent out the other side. And sometimes that covers your full mortgage payment and you get to live for free.
That's the one I hear a lot about.
Yeah.
From these big guys that are promoted on YouTube and
Yeah.
And you're making money off, you call it a fourplex, right?
Right. So, if there's four units in the building.
And you sell three. And then they're actually making some money on top. They're covering the mortgage and making money on top.
But in all cases, you need to be able to personally cover the mortgage.
Yeah. There you go.
And only if you get some other income in, then that's just bonus.
I would say that.
if I were to get into a duplex situation now, I would say, and I always buy fixer uppers for any type of investment that I do. So I look for foreclosures or something that's in really rough shape, and then I like to fix them up. So I like to buy something that's undervalued. So it's always less than I pay less than what it appraises for. I would fix up the other unit in the duplex first, so it's in good shape, and then live in your side, and you can fix up your side as you're living there.
Because most of the money that is made in investment real estate is at the purchase, right? And what the basic thing I've heard is you want to get something 85% of the actual value.
That's what I've heard. 75% to 85%.
There you go. Well, yeah, the more the better. But it's not made over time.
Right.
Yeah, it's at the purchase is what I hear. So.
Yeah, and in some areas, it doesn't matter the shape of the unit. It's going to rent for the same. In other areas, if you fix it up a little bit, you're going to get more in rent.
There you go.
You're going to need to know your market. And the only person who's going to know the market that well is a really qualified real estate agent, which, I encourage you to use the referral service to find that.
And where could I get this so-called referral real estate agent there, Amanda?
Yeah, reach out to me. You can find me at choicerealtyconnect.com. I personally use the service myself and found just a fantastic agent in the location we just last purchased in. Honest to God, she was the best real estate agent I've had in any of my transactions.
Wow.
She was absolutely amazing.
So you keep buying in the same area. Are you just going to keep using her?
From now on, yes. Yeah.
I know you like to have your team and have the same people. And I think you're in a great situation with what you're doing.
Yeah, she's fantastic. We have a really good property manager. Those are really key and important. I have my HVAC people are the same and they're terrific. I have cleaners that I use on a regular basis when we buy a new place that either clean the carpet or restore tile. Wow. You get your team.
Nice. Here, question number five. I have my emergency fund of $1,000 paid off my debt, and I'm working on the 3 to 6 months of savings. That would be 1, 2, and 3 on the baby steps. Do I put my $1,000 emergency fund into my 3 to 6 months or keep it separate?
Combine it. You're just going to keep adding. Yeah. Just keep adding to the $1,000.
Yeah. The $1,000 was just a temporary thing to get you through baby step two. That's all it was there for. And
it's like a jump start on 3 to 6 months.
And we've said this before in the history of the baby steps with Dave Ramsey, they did not have baby step one there initially, or it was not the $1,000 emergency fund. They discovered over time during the beginnings of what they were coaching that needed to be in there. It was actually added. So now they have the $1,000 initial emergency fund. Then you pay off your debt and then you go into the 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
Little history background. Yes. Just that one goes away and just roll that in if you didn't use it. That's a simple.
Great question. Great
yeah, we've
question.
Had that once before. I think people like, well, what happens that 1,000? Yeah, just roll it.
Yep. Just keep adding to it. You already have the account set up. So now that you're on baby step three, you just keep dumping more money into it.
There you go. Easy. All right. Number six. If you had $10,000, Amanda, to invest in something, what would you invest in?
So I'm going to go back and say, are all of your baby steps covered first? Mm-hmm. If not, then that $10,000 would go towards either the paying off debt or paying off a mortgage, investing in your own IRA or 401k. Huh. After that, once you get to baby step seven, those are your options. Invest, give generously, enjoy your money. So if you want to invest $1,000, $10,000, what would I invest
in? Let's say you ended up, let's say you're on baby step seven, I'm on seven, you end up with $10,000. What would you do today to turn that into something else? What would be your little, your target? What would you do?
So I'm torn between two options. Okay. I would either put it in my high yield interest savings account mm-hmm. to save towards the next real estate property.
Uh-huh. I figured you'd say that.
Or the other option is I would put it in my brokerage account and hope that it does well with the markets.
Yeah.
So I could go either way. And it would depend what, we would talk it over with my husband and we would have to agree on it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could go either way. It depends on what our long-term goal is.
I think because I'm not ready to do the real estate thing, I would put it in a brokerage account.
Make you ready to do the real estate thing, Craig?
Well,
because our listeners have been listening to you for a year now say that you're almost ready. Okay, so I'm just curious, what's going to put you over the top?
Let's be open and honest right here, right now. We have brand new listeners that know the other project I'm working on. Mm-hmm. I would like to take a new source of income that I'm working on right now, and I'm working towards it right now, and I think we're within a month of that being completed. When that occurs, what it is I'm streaming video games, right? So Everybody's heard these content creators out there, and then you end up signing a deal with either Twitch, which is owned by Amazon, YouTube, Facebook, whatever. You end up being exclusive. So you're basically under an entertainment contract. I'm hoping to get signed by Facebook. I'm doing everything possible, and I don't know if it'll happen. There is no benchmark. It's when they decide to do it. That said, if that can happen here in the next month, I'm hoping to take that 100% and put it into the real estate thing as my diversify. I got plenty in the stock market. I got plenty in 401k and 457. I would like to get now into real estate. I want to spread it out. I'm not doing gold and that crap, but I would like to have real estate.
Right.
So I think that would be what will do it, because I want to take 100% of that input into that.
When you say you would do real estate, what does that mean for you?
It means I would like to do investment properties with the least stress possible, which means here's what I'm going to be honest, right? I'm going to like call somebody on the phone. And I'm going to go in alphabetical order, my real list. All right. Who's in my A list? Oh, Amanda's there. Let me call Amanda and say, hey, Amanda, how about we team up on our property? Talk to your husband. Now, I would rather do it with people I trust.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would rather jump in with somebody and maybe I can sway you guys. Because you know what I'm saying. If you get into investing and you're with the wrong people, I've already had one really bad situation with a business. And that was super, super ugly. It was so bad. Even the FBI got involved to help me.
Yikes.
Oh, yeah. No, it was bad. I had death threats. I had everything. So I have this thing where I'm super cautious. So the only people that I can think of on this planet right now that I would be willing to work with is you and your husband. So it would be like, hey, guys, would you be interested? Let's go in together or something like that. Because I don't know anything about it.
Uh-huh.
But I have the time in it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
I would not do it on my own because I don't know anything. I don't know real estate. I don't.
Gotcha.
And it still makes me nervous.
So, hey, I love this idea. So you're just going to give me money to...
Yes, yes. And I'm willing to work and
well, that works for me.
And I'm willing to paint and to carpet and all that stuff. And I know you guys have the other ones, but like if another property to help accelerate another one. Yeah, yeah. I'm very leery about even doing real estate because everything else does fine. But why would I do that? I don't know. Yeah. I would like to diversify a little bit.
Just curious. Okay.
There you go.
All right. Well, this was a great episode. Thank you so much, Craig.
Don't you feel good that you're the only people I trust now on this whole planet right now?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, I do in one sense. And in the other, I feel kind of badly that you don't trust anyone else.
Look, when you have to find out what people's agendas are out there, because everybody has one, you just got to figure it out. And when money gets involved, things can get really weird out there. And I may took a big chance on a company in the 90s. And yeah, it would have made me multimillionaire. But the guy got greedy on me and it was really ugly. So,
yeah.
And I won in the end, but I'll basically just got my money back. So, but it was definitely not worth it. So anyway, it was an internet company, which would have been Blockbusters. I was an internet service provider back in the day. So it was the only way you could get on the internet. And I was the only way to get you on there back in the day.
So you were like the Comcast that everyone hates.
Oh, yeah. No, we were it. You either went AOL or you went with us. That was your choice. So,
wow.
Yep. So if you want the real internet, we had the market. In a whole region, you had to go through us. There was no one else. So, but the guy got greedy on me. And now I know why the other people wanted to sell their portion. I learned a valuable lesson that day.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, real estate is something I don't have the knowledge in. So I'd rather do it with people that have the knowledge and see, do it that way. So that's it. Yep. And it's probably the way everyone else should probably do it as well. Just don't. It's like people want to buy a restaurant because I've always wanted a restaurant. Well, if you've never worked in a restaurant, don't know anything about restaurants, you probably shouldn't do that.
Right. Yeah.
So it's just work with people that know it, that you trust, and find the right real estate agent. Like at choicerealtyconnect.com.
Yeah.
Because the choice is yours, apparently.
It is. Yeah.
Anyway. All right. That was a great episode, man. I appreciate it.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at @AgileAmanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at RocklandUSA. Don't forget, check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time.
All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.